All right, welcome to class today. Glad to see you all here. I'm Luther Tykonovich. Many of you have met me before, but perhaps not all. So let us just briefly talk about how you pronounce my name, because I'm a basically vain person and like people to say my name right. This is how my name is pronounced phonetically. Tykonovich. We're all going to practice it so I can hear you chant my name. On three. One, two, three. Tykonovich. Hooray! Oh, that makes me feel so good. All right. My first name is Luther. You can call me Luther. You can call me Tykonovich. You can call me any combination of that you want with any honorific in front of it you want. You can even call me late for dinner. As long as I know you're talking to me, I will try to reply. This is computer graphics. I probably should have mentioned that earlier in case you're in the wrong course. We're going to talk about what that class means today. And if experience holds, half of you are going to drop after class today. So we'll talk about why. And so on as we move forward. So let me actually just jump directly to the course website. Hopefully many of you have seen the course website. If you haven't, it's linked from Lose List and from Colab and from my website, etc., etc. We have this long list of things that you should think about as you're taking this class. One of the things I find is that lots of people expect this class to be different than it is. In this class, we write programs that color pixels. That's what computer graphics does. We'll get a little beyond that towards the end of the class, probably, but most of the time we're going to talk about, like, how do you color in the right pixels to make a line and exciting things like that. There are other classes that go into higher level stuff. In particular, architecture has 2 5,000 level classes that are all about how do you generate the content that we're going to draw. And many of the students that take this class take one of those classes. Incidentally, one of these is offered during fall, winter, spring, and the other one during summer. I may have it backwards, but that's why there are two of them. Anyway, those classes do that. If you're interested in how do I do self-driving cars or computer vision or so on, we offer those classes. This is not that class. And so we have some information here. Also, experience has taught me math sometimes is a problem. So some of you are in the School of Engineering and have been required to take more math than you probably actually need. And others of you are in the College of Arts and Sciences and have been required to take less math than you probably actually need. And I'm just going to try to be clear here. We will refer to calculus as concepts quite a bit, but we're not going to ask you to solve any integrals. Okay, so hooray. We will talk a lot about vectors. We will try to brush up and teach you some new tricks about them and so on, but if you don't even know what they are, you're going to be at a disadvantage. We'll also talk some about numerical stability and computational geometry, but very little because we don't offer proper CS classes in these topics, so we don't expect you to know very much. Anyway, there's some math here, a fair amount of coding, and so on. In association with the coding, let me just mention a little bit here that will show up when I go to the course policies. Let me jump down to contact. As you look at our contact section here, you might notice there are only two names. Okay? There's me and one other name. And it's actually worth noting that we have a problem in this class. We don't offer it often enough to have TAs that have taken the class. And we don't have faculty who do graduate research with graduate students in computer graphics. So the number of qualified TAs that have taken a graphics class before was zero. Okay? So I hired all of them, and one more, that hasn't had graphics before. Okay? Sian is a graduate student in our department. He's taken some related courses. He'll probably be able to do something to help. But we do not have the ability to hold your hands through your coding. Okay? It's just not going to happen. So if you are the sort of person that usually gets through your programming classes by going to office hours, congratulations, find another class. Okay, sorry, we just don't have the medium to help you. If you're the sort of student that knows that other people use office hours, you'll be fine. If you're somewhere in between, your mileage may vary, right? But be aware of that going in. Let's also talk about some other policies as we're going along here, right? There's some, we meet, huzzah. In case you didn't know or haven't noticed, I am recording what's going on right here. That little red dot in the bottom of the screen means there's screen capture, and this is my audio recorder. If you ever don't see the red dot, tell me. I sometimes forget to turn on the recording. Anyway, but I will post screen captures after class, so you don't need to show up in lecture, ever, period. There is no in-class graded anything. There are in-class learning activities. Not everything we do will record properly, but we will try our best to make this optional, because if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. We will have quizzes. Typically speaking, at the end of each class, I will go back to my office and I'll write a quiz about what we talked about that day. I haven't decided whether I'll release a quiz on Tuesday and on Thursday, or if I'll just add them both together and release them on Thursday. But there will be quizzes after each class about what we talked about. You will have these every single week, and they'll be administered online through the quizzes link. Let's go click the quizzes link here and go look at it. That did not go where I wanted it to go. Quizzes. So there's currently one quiz. It is here basically to make sure the quiz tool works and also to give me some idea of where to start my math, right? You notice it has unlimited time. This will not be typical, okay? It says that it's opened back on the 20th of April, will close on the 4th of September, okay? I don't know if any of you have taken it yet. I haven't looked. But you should take this so that we know the quiz tool works and you can get used to how it works. Let me just briefly, I've already taken this quiz. So you can see my answers. I don't know that that matters a great deal. Okay, answers are remembered from time to time, and it is automatically self-saving. So if I just say, I don't know a dot product afterwards, if it turns green, it means it recorded that change. If it stays yellow, it means it's having network trouble and didn't. It also tells me up in the top right corner, that I have 162 hours, 52 minutes, and 45 seconds to finish this quiz. Okay, so this is how this will work. You can always write comments on your quizzes. Please don't write comments that say, I think this is a good question. The purpose of this is to say, I think this is a bad question. I'm not sure what you meant, but this is what I know. Okay, so if you find a question bad and want to clarify, please let us know, and we can look at that and adjust quiz grading accordingly. All right, so quizzes. In addition to that, you'll write programs. Three of them are cast in stone. You will do them. They're already posted. We've tried them before. We know they work. Number four, we'll talk about why. I'm not sure exactly what it will be. And number five, you'll probably have an opportunity to experiment based on what we do in the last part of the class. And we'll talk some more about that in a moment. There is also an assignment zero. Assignment zero is dramatically easier than assignment one. Tenfold easier, let's say. It's basically to make sure you can write programs. Whereas assignment one is to make sure you can draw pictures. They're very different tasks. Anyway, we'll talk some more about that as we go along. This is me, you can contact me. Typically you should use Piazza, even though, right, we don't have a large staff. I get a lot of email. It helps me stay sane if I keep different communication in different places. I should comment. I answer my email once a day, 5 days a week. I check my email once a day, 5 days a week. Sometimes I check it multiple times during a day. I will check it once a day, 5 days a week, but I won't check it on Saturday or Sunday. Okay? It's just not going to happen. So don't be surprised when that doesn't happen. I likewise probably won't check Piazza on Saturday or Sunday. I would try to have a life in addition to a job. I know this may shock you, knowing some of the other professors, but anyway. Right, so that will happen. Be aware of that. If you need immediate responses, sorry. I don't have the staff to supply immediate responses to everything. Readings. This is a quote from a piece of free verse by Yang Guanli. If you read books, your eyeballs wither away and leave their bare sockets. Anyway, there is no textbook for this book, but there's a lot of readings. And so those are all on the schedule. We'll look at those in a moment. Some of these are conceptual. They'll give you background and understanding of core concepts. Others are references. They're sort of how-tos when you go to write this up. In general, the more of the conceptual readings you read before class, the better things will go. I am not so naive as to believe that undergrads regularly do the assigned reading. However, I'm also not so naive as to believe you can't figure things out on your own. So there will be classes where I will say one of our topics is such and such. Any questions from the reading? And when you don't have any, we'll move on to the next topic and assume you'll figure it out. So it behooves you to at least convince one of your friends to do the reading in advance so we can have good questions. You'll write programs. I don't really care what language. So in the past, students have asked for C++, C#, Python, Java, and D. Great. If you are a Guile fan, huzzah! They're rare to find, but we can set that up too. All of the programs will be designed, except possibly homework 4, to be language agnostic. And so if you want to write in some language, let me know. That's part of what homework 0 is for, is to give you an opportunity to write your code in the language you think you want to use. Let me know and get my server set up so that I can generate pictures from your code. And we probably will have one assignment we force you to use JavaScript and GLSL, and we'll teach you enough of those to do that at that time. Grading, yeah, we have grades. Okay. Here is the approximate breakdown, half assignments, half quizzes. Note here about the final quiz. So I'll do the weekly quizzes or possibly daily quizzes, probably weekly just because Tuesday, Thursday seems a little short to me. Anyway, the final quiz, I'm basically just going to go through the questions that I thought were good that you didn't all get right, tweak the wording, and package them up, and then you'll take it in person. Okay? The average score on the final quiz has been quite high. Once you start noticing the average score on the intermediate quizzes, you'll be happy that was the case. Anyway, there we are. Oh yeah, be professional, be honest, don't plagiarize. If you do, bad things will happen to you. If you have disability, tell the SDAC and then tell me, or the other way around. If you need to exempt yourself from class for various reasons, you should just be able to do that, but if it interacts in some other way, let me know. And there we have our course policies. So, what we're going to do now is you're going to pair up and you're going to come up with a question for me. Or if you want. It can be about me, it can be about the course, it can be about the state of the art in some field I know nothing about, anything you want. But you're going to come up with a question. I'm going to call on a few of you to tell me your questions, and then we'll open it up to the rest of you. Questions about what we're doing? Go.
Thank you.
Our first seat is five rows. In graphics, we always start in the back. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11 in. Oh dear, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think that's the very end. What's your question?
We're gonna ask about collaboration on homeworks.
Okay.
So just in general, what is your policy on this?
All right, let's do one more random. We have, all right, this person immediately behind you. What's your question? All right, now that I've called a couple people at random, open it up to anybody. Other questions you want us to address? Yes.
So what is the force load like relative to other forces from 150? And also I noticed you mentioned something about games in the first slide and how that's a different class, 4,730. So how does that differ from this course that you mentioned?
Okay. Yeah.
How will the partial credit on homeworks work if it's graded for homework in general?
Okay.
Whether or not quizzes are like open book or open notes or stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you miss class? If you know you're gonna miss class ahead of time, what about quizzes? Like if you're like, I guess online.
All right. Great. Other questions? Yeah.
Can it be about anything, or does it have to be about the class?
It can be about anything.
Do you think real-time ray tracing is realistic?
Okay. Yeah.
What was the dog at the beginning?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the new set of graphics cards that NVIDIA is releasing?
Okay. Yeah.
How do we apply what we learned in the class?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting a humanities module to take?
What do you do with your free weekend?
Yeah.
How come most people end up using Python and Teams?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Can you show us some of your works or past works from other students?
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah.
How often is this class given out, considering that there's only one person who is sort of qualified to be in?
Yeah.
What are your objectives for a student who has successfully completed this class?
Anything else? All right. Let's start working through these. Collaboration. All right. This is on the policies page. Let's go look at it a bit. So in section 4.2, honesty, I try to be as clear as I know how to do. So let's go through all of these and then we'll come back and say, what does that mean about collaboration, to see how much you understood. First, no plagiarism. You must cite any and every source you consult, other than those explicitly provided by the course itself. Talk to a friend, saw an interesting video, consulted a website, had a tutor tell us. Okay? Point one. Number two, write your own code. Compose it yourself, your own original work. Three, understand what you submit. Working together can help you learn, but make sure you learned. And number four, no help on quizzes. What does this mean as far as collaboration and homeworks go? Verbal discussion, that is a nice noun phrase. Is it okay or not okay?
It's okay if you cite it when you turn it in.
Verbal discussion is fine if you cite it when you turn it in, unless your verbal discussion sounds like for int I equal. Okay. Other thoughts about what this means about collaboration? Yeah.
Absolutely no code.
Absolutely no code. Okay? Now, this is going to annoy some of you because we also don't have enough TAs to debug. So your code is going to crash, and you're going to be confused why, and you're so going to want to ask your friends. And you're not, because you're honest people, right? And that's what the rules say. What are you going to do instead? Well, actually, probably what you're going to do is just throw away that piece of code and start over. And this sounds weird. The vast majority of the functions you write in this class will be very short and very complicated. It is common to have, say, a 20-line function that has 7 it loops in it. Okay? We'll talk about how we get to that sort of scenario and so on as we go along. But that level of complexity and that shortness usually means if it's not running and you don't know why, try again a bit at a time and it will usually fix itself. And then there is Piazza and my office and so on. We can try to sort it out if you really truly get stuck. But yeah. Other thoughts about what this means about collaboration? Some of the homework assignments will explicitly have other policies. So homework 0, for example, let's go look at homework 0. We haven't looked at any of the homeworks yet. So if I go to the schedule, and then I look at the warm-up assignment, okay? Unlike other assignments, avoid plagiarism, but feel free to grab code from any source as long as you cite it. Okay? If one person wants to do this assignment and share it with all of the other people in the class and then tell me you did it, great, right? That's fine. For this assignment and this assignment only, okay? And then the final assignment will probably have multiple options. We have 2 versions written up right now. We may change option 2 depending on what happens in the second half of the semester. But one is you propose your own graphics task. And talk about what you want to do, your own project. This doesn't have to be solo, although if it's larger than solo, I will need to make sure the work is an appropriate route. We'll talk some more about that as it comes up. But for the intermediate assignments, they are write your own code, compose your own code yourself, and tell me what sources you had. Other questions about collaboration? Okay. Homework format. All right, let's jump to, I don't know, how about the 3D rasterizer homework? To pick a random example. Homework format, let me see if I could. All of your homework will be a program that will be given a text file, like, for example, this text file on the command line. You will read this text file. This describes a picture to draw. This happens to describe a very boring picture with one white triangle. You'll learn to read this as we go along. You will draw that triangle into a PNG file called homework2trif.png and save that file in the same directory. And then I will compare the picture you drew to this picture and see if it looks the same. Okay? The first 3 assignments, this will be their structure. I will give you a text file describing a scene to draw. You will draw it, save it as an image. The first assignment, the warm-up assignment, is just, can you write files that look like images based on text files? Okay, so it is just like, here is the text file. It just has garbage in it and so on. And you just need to parse this and create a really simple picture. The picture we will test you on is this picture right here. Those are pixels, not squares. Anyway, it's a very, very small image. So just to make sure you can turn files into pictures, and then each of the later assignments will describe more complicated pictures. Yes?
So like a follow-on to that, does that mean that like our outputs are tested based on like an image or like a window that's popped up? Or something?
Image. You will create an image file. I will compare it to the image file I thought you should have created for that input. Yes?
Do you compare it by hand or automatically?
Both. So we both do a digital comparison to see if it looks exactly the same. If it does, hooray, life's easy. And then if it doesn't, we look at it and see, were you just like all of your pixels were one to the left, or did you do something seriously wrong? Other questions? Yes?
Will we have access to the comparison function?
Maybe. It uses image magic, which I have found is complicated to describe how to install. So. We will give you an example image that you're supposed to look exactly like. And if you really want to try to install image magic and get that, I don't have any reason to hide it from you. But it, yeah, slightly nuanced. Other questions? OK. Homework format. Compare course load to 2150. This may come as a surprise, but I have never taken 2150. It's not going to be as uniform as 2150, I can definitely say that. 2150 has a number of assignments that require sort of a consistent level of work out of most students. Certainly some do it faster than others, but sort of walks you through the paces. This course, instead, let's just as an example, two people submitted an equally functional version of homework 2 last semester, one of which was 8 times longer than the other. Okay? So the way you write it and so on, your style, your efficiency, it's going to be fairly all over the map. I am shooting for what federal law actually says I'm supposed to shoot for. I bet you may or may not have known that federal law says how much a credit hour is. But somewhere here, I should have. So I try to give what I think this is going to be, partially vetted by previous semesters. I think the reading should take you about 2 hours a week. On average, I think each assignment will take you 5 to 10 hours of focused effort each week. And this is based on what federal law says a 3-credit class is supposed to be and based on what people have told me this takes. Note though, I say hours per week. Not all assignments have the same number of weeks. Okay, so homework 2, we have a little warm up, but you have at least 3 full weeks, sort of closer to 5. And then you just have 2 weeks to add on homework 3, part of which is full reading days. And then we have 3 weeks for homework 3, and then 2 weeks for, anyway, this is designed by the difficulty of the assignments. And we'll try to talk some more about that a little bit as we get up to each of them and get you the material needed. I will generally try to cover the information you need for an assignment before the previous one is due, or close thereafter. Okay? So you'll be able to make a good start on 2D Rasterizer, really starting on the 11th, as we'll cover the stuff that will give you enough to definitely get well underway. And we'll have finished everything you'll need for that assignment right here. And start in on homework 2 stuff instead. Okay? So we'll try to make sure you have plenty of time. And if you're good at time management and do things early and don't get stressed out because you have plenty of time and so on, this will work out fine. If you're a procrastinator, everything's harder because stress hormones get in the way of work. Other questions, thoughts about this? All right, games and how that is not this class. We're not going to make games or talk about how to do that. And they're not going to talk about how to draw pictures. There's actually not a lot of overlap. The game industry draws pictures, and we will talk about how they draw pictures. The game industry also designs games, and game design will talk about that. And the overlap is almost non-existent in practical terms, as far as content in these courses go. Partial credit. All right, let's look. Most of the assignments will have a structure that will have a set of required pieces. Okay, so let's look at homework 1 for an example. 50% of your credit on this assignment is to do the required things. You need to be able to read PNG lines, XYC and XYRGB lines, line C and trig lines, and that's it. If you can do those lines and draw those pictures, 50% of the points. And then you have a lot of optional things, each worth a fixed percentage of the total of this assignment. Most of the assignments have about 300% of optional credit available. It varies a little bit based on how many ideas I had available. It is all one big pool. So if you need to get the required, I'm never going to say you have extra optional in this one. It'll cover the required for that. They're required for a reason. These are things anybody that has taken a graphics class will assume you know. But all the optional stuff is optional. So if you decide, I love 2D rasterizers, I am doing 250% credit on that, then you can skip the optional in the next 3 assignments and still get full credit. In general, each of the individual items in the optional section will not have partial credit, but in the required, it will. So I'm going to look and see how your lines aren't right and try to see if you get partial credit there, because that's required, you can't make it up. But you know, if your alpha channel isn't working, I'm not going to waste the time trying to figure out exactly why it wasn't working. You're just not going to get that 10%. Hopefully this will be clear after the first assignment. Yes?
Does that mean you can resubmit old assignments to get additional
100% all.
Can you resubmit all assignments and get additional? I'm not opposed to it in principle, but it's work, and I don't have a large staff. Okay? So, if there's a reason, so in general, how do I feel about deadlines? I wish I didn't have to have them, but I have to get things, grades turned in on time, and if I don't give you deadlines, then you won't do your work on time. Most of you, right? So, we will have deadlines, and you will submit by the deadline, and then I will grade. And then if something is a great big surprise, or something looks horribly wrong, or your life fell apart that week, or whatever it is, you'll come talk to me and we'll see if there's a reasonable place for resubmission or the like.
The question was like, if you do like 120% when you first submit an assignment, and you want to like make it to 150% by that,
I won't grade anything until the submission deadline, and if you resubmit, it'll overwrite the old one. I should comment, the submission page isn't actually up yet. I had a little glitch with the server. Hopefully it'll be up in a day or two. Did that answer your question? Okay. It shouldn't be a surprise what your grade is. Okay? If you can take this input file and make this picture, you should get these points. Yes?
Do we get automated feedback on our pictures?
No, but you're welcome to run them and compare them to the images.
Okay.
Yes?
Is the only way to test them on the images the submitted?
No. You can download this file and run it and see what picture it creates and compare it to the picture it should create. Yeah. Admittedly, this doesn't test every case, but I've tried to make the inputs simple and covering most of the interesting corner cases. So generally, if it passes the example image, it will pass all of the other random images I throw at it. Other questions about partial credit grading of these assignments? Okay. Are the quizzes open book? Yes. They're also timed, but they are open book. Which really means they're my forcing function to make you read, right? Let's be honest. All right, great. What do I think about real-time ray tracers? We'll talk some more about this once we talk about ray tracers, but do I think they're realistic? That has two meanings. It is perfectly realistic to make a ray tracer run in real time. But ray tracers' computational complexity is proportional to different aspects of the complexity of the scene than rasterizers, which makes them hard to make interesting scenes real time. And we'll talk some more about why that is and actually do a brief algorithmic analysis of how these things might work. And some of the hardware support that's coming in there. We'll spend some time talking about this. If you don't know what it is, that's fine. It's a topic we'll get to later in the class. What was the dog?
It's a feline.
It's a feline?
Is it?
Okay. Then that would mean it's not a dog.
Yeah.
I agree that it's not a dog, but I also didn't think it was a feline. I thought it was a sketch to idle the time. But you're welcome to think otherwise. Oh, I should have written more. How did I feel about NVIDIA's something? NVIDIA's...
New video cards.
Okay, they're fine? Is there something in particular you wanted to know about their new cards?
No.
Okay.
Well, they have support for... They've unveiled ones that have support for real-time ray tracing. So I think
there was... Yeah, I mean, they had support for real-time ray tracing since... 98? But it's just only for very, very simple scenes. As the scenes get more complicated, it becomes more real time. They have added it's a usable interface if you want to write in NVIDIA. Anyway, we'll talk a little about the mess that is graphics cards as we go along. Not a huge amount, because I really don't think you want to go into how warp scheduling goes. But we'll at least talk enough that you know what you're talking about and can learn more on your own. You had your hand? Nope. OK. How do we apply what we learned? You know, I'm going to delay answering that until I talk about the objectives of the course, so we'll come back to that. What is a good humanities elective? The best humanities electives I took, I don't know if they're even offered here, I took advanced beginning ballet, which meant for 2 hours a week, 5 days a week. It taught me how to jump twice as high as I could before I took it. It was a fascinating class. And I also took an Introduction to Human Development, which talked about the brains of children under the age of one. It's a very fascinating class. I don't know if they teach them here or if they're any good, But, you know, probably other people in the room have suggestions. Does anybody have the best humanities elective to suggest? Didn't you ask the question? No, okay, sorry. It was in this general area, so all right.
Fantasy literature with Professor Bruce Holsinger is a fantastic class.
All right.
Are you looking for like an easy class or what?
Let me make a little meta comment here. School is like the last time you get world experts on many, many subjects willing to tell you things for relatively cheap. Take advantage of it. The world's an interesting place, and you will probably never again have an opportunity to have somebody tell you all these things. So, you know, look around, find something that you don't know yet, but you think would be cool to know, and learn it. And then you'll be a better person than you were before. Probably not better at being a person, but a person that people want to be around more, which may be more important. All right, what do I do on my weekends? Well, church is half of it. I'm a very religious person, so Sundays are spent with church and church-related activities. I also actually do this every morning, so I teach an early morning seminary class to high school students every weekday. So I come from there to work. Anyway, and then about once a month I'll have a training meeting of other people that teach early morning seminary classes for that and so on. And then I have a few other hours some Saturdays to try doing other things, like, you know, visiting my friends and doing laundry and exciting things like that. Why do most people end with Python and D? I don't know, because you don't ask me. I just noticed that each successive submission has more and more of these too. My guess is you all try something your first assignment, and then you're frustrated and you ask your friends, and the ones that seem happy say, "Oh, I did." I think it may have been random the first time, and then the second time I made the mistake of telling people. I don't know. I like these languages. They're both nice languages. D in particular is a meticulously engineered language, and Python is a widely used and very succinct language. Anyway, yes?
Would it be a bad idea to use JavaScript for all the assignments?
Not in principle. JavaScript is, it isn't designed for reading and writing files, but Node has reasonable shims to make that work. Most people I know that write JavaScript don't actually understand prototyping and how JavaScript really works. But if you do, you can write some amazing code in it. Yeah?
Are we limited to like what packages we can use if we're using Python?
Like, you are. Okay. And on Homework Zero, it lists packages I think are okay. Basically, the end result is you should write image files one pixel at a time. And if you pick a new language, I'm going to tell you to restrict yourself to whatever it is that writes image files one pixel at a time in that language. Yes?
But like the thing that like decodes and encodes like the picture?
That we assume you don't need to write. Right. Although I have source code of a few of them posted if you want to look at them. Involves a lot of libz and so on. Anyway. Other questions? All right. Can I show you past student work? This is going to sound like a cop-out answer, but I think the answer is legally no. There is all kinds of weird laws about what I'm allowed to do about students, and they keep changing. I haven't finished reading the draft, but there was a law passed recently that sort of changes. I might not even be allowed to tell you other students in the class's name anymore. I'm not sure if I understood the newest law correctly. Anyway. But I think no, because I didn't get people to sign releases to say I would back then. Sorry. When will the next offering of this course be? Yeah, I don't know. A while, probably. There are two faculty in our department that know the material well enough to feel comfortable teaching it. There is me and... Can anybody guess who the other one is? Most of you have had this person in the class. Aaron Bloomfield, who did his PhD dissertation in computer graphics. Both of us don't teach it frequently because we're busy doing other things. And so every once in a while, I get handed it, I think basically because the scheduler thinks it makes me feel good, which it basically does, so kudos, right? But there is no current plan to offer it at any particular rate. I'm guessing it will continue to be offered at least every 2 years. We might bump it up to once a year, but we'll see. If you look at the course forum, you will notice that this class has a very high drop rate. And so that has dissuaded the department from investing a lot of resources in offering it frequently. All right. Objectives. What are we trying to do in this class? I have two overarching goals in this class. The first one is to get you conversant and familiar with the basics of computer graphics. So we're going to talk about the things that everybody is going to assume you know if you say you know graphics. We're going to talk about how to draw pictures and what colors are and curves and blobbies and alpha compositing and Z buffers and things that everybody just assumes you know. It's a little weird that everybody assumes you know them because everybody also assumes you don't program them yourself. But we're going to make you program them yourself so that you actually know them. And then we're going to just do whatever. Okay? You're going to tell me what the whatever is. At some point, a few weeks before these classes, I'm going to ask you all to vote on what you want to know. And I'm going to give you a partial list of ideas, but you'll add others. And then I'll rapidly make sure that I can say something interesting about the ones I like and tell you those are the ones that won, and then we'll talk about that. Okay? And that's because there's a lot of graphics. My goal is you understand the foundation and that you understand how to dive deep on your own somewhere else. We don't have any other graphics classes. There is no grad graphics. If you decide this was the best in art at UVA, you can't take more. So I want to try to get you to the point that you can go pull a paper out of SIGGRAPH and after some headache and banging your head against the wall at their strange English, figure out what it is they're asking you to do and do it yourself. Okay? And we will probably take at least one of these days to literally pull up a recently published paper and talk about how to read it. Okay? In addition to other topics we'll throw in there. So my goals are that you understand what graphics research as a computer scientist, not an artist, actually entails, the elements involved in it, and how to go farther. Therefore, how do you apply it? Well, maybe you apply it by realizing it sounded cool, but you found out it isn't. Okay, and then you do something else with your life. This is a valid application. This is a valid application of almost all electives. That's why we have you take more than one, right? So I want you to understand if it's going to make you upset to do it for the rest of your life before you invest the rest of your life. Okay, but most of you hopefully came here because you already have some idea what it is and are sort of predisposed to do it. So the other ways you apply it, you might decide to keep adding more and more cool features to your little software rasterizer, which will be inefficient but cool and you'll be able to do fancy things. And some of the high-end rasterizing is still done in software. So for example, you could take Homework 3, your ray tracer, and with, say, a few months of effort, you could get it to the boundary of what ray tracers can do. And then you could start experimenting with things ray tracers can't do yet that you are going to make them do. And we will give you enough information that in theory you could drive down that path. You also might apply it by saying, I now understand the basics. I'm going to find a library that does the basics for me and write real graphics applications using somebody else's library. Typically, those will be real-time graphics applications. So typically, if you're writing photorealism, you'll write a lot of the code yourself. If you're writing real-time graphics, you'll use another library. But understanding what they're doing will help you understand how to use them. And those are ways you could apply it. Whew. All right. Yes?
How does this class relate to animation?
All right, sounds like you're making new questions. All right. Others?
What is your policy on storing our source online, like GitHub?
Yeah?
What's your teaching style?
Yeah.
What do you think is one really good language, or like a few languages that are really optimized for graphics rendering and just writing these kind of applications?
Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Is training the bots to like to automatically detect the capture kind of like related to this course material?
Okay. Sorry, say that again. I missed an important word. Training bots to?
To like bypass or just automatically click on the capture.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Will you be graded on efficiency?
Okay. Animation. Animation is, we'll talk about the basics of it. I think it's even on the schedule. Animation. We have one day of it on the schedule. We will actually mention it fairly often. It will be a motivation for a lot of other things we'll talk about. So we'll mention the idea of animation fairly often as we go along. It will also show up a few times earlier as we're talking about image files and so on. We might spend much of the rest of the semester talking about it. We might not. The basics of animation are easy to describe. The advanced concepts could take multiple courses. And that is as with many other things. So, is animation related? Yes. Now, what we're going to talk about is not how do I become a good animator. Okay? I have spent some time trying to learn that skill. I'm not very good at it. You don't want me to teach it. Trust me. All right. But we will talk some about, we might spend some time talking about how computers figure out how to animate things automatically, physics-based animation and so on, or we might not if we decide to do other things. Should you post your code online? What is the answer?
No.
Is this my policy?
No.
Why is it the policy?
Honor code cheating.
Yes. We spend so much time talking about don't take code from other people, but the honor code originally was mostly the opposite. It was mostly about not sharing, not doing well. Originally, it was about not killing professors, but that's a side note, right? Once we got past that, right, it's about cutting off the source of cheating as well as not doing it yourself. So don't share your code with people, okay? Yeah. What is my teaching style? Some of you have had classes from me before. Who would like to describe my teaching style? Yes? Okay, I'm not sure who you've taken class with. I don't own PowerPoint. I have never made a slide as a teacher.
Not really like PowerPoint.
Okay. Yeah.
You use the drawing term to note down the students' comments and explain as you go and draw things.
Okay. See, let me make sure I understand. You're saying that I'm standing here with like a tablet drawing something, and then there's a screen behind me, and it's drawing a picture of me in a tablet. Yes, this is how I teach. Okay? I also love questions. I will often do things like this on many topics and try to field things. I will sometimes intentionally state things that are obviously false and see if you can figure it out, right, etc. So, yeah. I need to apologize. I'm really bad at talking slowly. Some students find it difficult to understand me at the pace I'm good at talking. Sorry, I've tried to get slower, I'm not good at that. So if you find me hard to understand at the pace I normally speak, it might be a good idea to watch the videos that you can slow down in your video player instead, right? Anyway. All right. What is a good language for graphics? What is a language that is fast to run? Assembly? This is not an exaggeration. Most major graphics libraries have non-trivial portions written in assembly. Not the whole thing, because it's tedious and painful, but the important parts frequently. There's actually specific languages designed for running on graphics cards. And these are fast for graphics almost by definition, like usually thousands of times faster. So the main ones right now are OpenGL, Direct3D, Metal, and Vulkan. There's a handful of others as well. We will sort of show you they exist and then move on. Okay? for various reasons, mostly because if we tried to teach you how they really work, we would spend the whole class on that and not do anything else. And partly because I find them sort of tedious. But we will show you why they exist, why they are faster, how they are doing things differently. As far as your assignments go and so on, compiled, okay? It should create an executable, not something else, when you compile it. That will give you, at a minimum, let's say a 30 times speed increase over any other kind of language. What does that mean? That means C, C++, D, Objective-C, Haskell, Common Lisp, Factor, Forth, some versions of Joy. If you have a really good just-in-time compiler, you can get close to that with a language like C# or Java. Not quite there. And if you really, really, really care, you should get one that doesn't have a stack. Fortran is faster than everything else, especially Fortran 77 and earlier. Right. We aren't going to talk about why. But anyway, yes?
Would you actually recommend using Haskell?
Do you know Haskell?
Yes.
Do you like Haskell?
Yes.
Yes. Haskell is a very odd language, and if you don't naturally think in monads, it takes a long time to learn it. But once you do, it can go quite quickly. Other questions about languages? Or I guess I have another question about language right here. Why is D good? This is a really hard question to answer until you know D. There are many features programming language designers have published papers about why they are useful for various purposes. Most of them you have never heard about because almost no language you've used has ever had them. For example, you probably don't actually know how to metaprogram. You probably don't know how to use value generics. You probably don't understand the value of compile time function evaluation, et cetera. There's lots of these features. Those are just a handful that D does very well. You probably aren't used to having good mix-ins and template mix-ins and know why they're different and so on. D has a lot of features other languages don't have, and it's written by people that actually write code. And these combination make it one of the most usable featureful languages I know. It takes a little time to learn how to use all of the fancy parts, though. So, yeah, anyway. Just as context, I wrote the reference solution of all of the homework assignments in this class in D, the total code of all of the reference assignments with all of the optional parts for all of them, the way I wrote D, is less than half the length of any single student submission I've ever had. Okay? But that's because I write code that writes the code that writes the code that runs. And anyway, yeah. All right, CAPTCHA bots, absolutely not. Image processing would help, machine learning would help. We won't even pretend to come close to that at all. If that kind of thing appeals to you, this is the opposite end of the whole visual spectrum. We are not trying to understand what's there, find patterns in it, learn things, none of that. Machine learning actually very rarely shows up in computer graphics in any of its forms. It's a tiny little bit in some procedural animation, and we may talk a little bit about that, but mostly we won't talk about that at all. All right, are you graded on efficiency? There is one, I think just one, maybe two, optional requirements, that is, make your code fast. And that's it. They're only optional, never required. I guess there is some efficiency. I'm only going to run your code for a minute or two before I get tired. But where do I have this? Nope, not that one. Let's look at this quote by Douglas Adams. If you really want to understand something, the best way is to explain it to someone else. That forces you to sort it out in your own mind. And the more slow and dim-witted your pupil, the more you have to break things down into more and more simple ideas. And that's really the essence of programming. By the time you've sorted out a complicated idea into little steps that even a stupid machine can deal with, you've certainly learned something about it yourself. Most of our homeworks, this is the reason we're having you do them. We don't expect you to write something that is better than what's already out there for almost any of your assignments. Probably none of them for most of you. But we do expect the process of figuring out how to explain it to the computer to teach you about it. So we don't care if you tell it to the computer efficiently or not, we just care if you learned in the process of telling it to the computer. All right. Any follow-on to any of these questions or any more questions we should add to the list of questions? Okay, I have a question for you. So, this class is scheduled for 75 minutes. There are two ways we can make this run. I can either talk at you for 75 minutes and talk with you and so on, or we can break it up somewhere middle-ish to have a break. Now, before you make your decision, if you have a break, that is less time that you are paying for that you will actually receive instruction for, right? As a client, as a provider of a service, I hope you will be happy to pay me for 65 minutes of instruction today instead of 75, because then I get extra money for the extra time, right? But you may like the break. I don't care which way we go. I am happy to talk at you for many more hours than this, but I would like to know what you would prefer. So, we're going to do just a quick straw poll. I'm not going to formally count this. I would prefer to have a break each lecture. No, I want to just go straight on through. I am still alive. I have opinions. Let's try this again. I would rather have a break. No, I would rather go straight on through. All right, the straight on through seem to have it, so we will not take breaks in general. That said, as a reminder, I said you don't have to come to class. That applies to each minute of class. So if you want to just wander out of the room, that's fine. Just try not to distract other people. I also want to say a word now about laptops. Should you use a laptop computer in this class? Let's take a vote. Yes. No. It doesn't matter. You didn't know the third option was there. Let's try this again. Yes. No. It doesn't matter. All right. We all think it doesn't matter. I basically don't care. Okay? But there probably is somebody that does, and that's the person sitting behind you. Okay? So if you're going to use your computer for something that might distract somebody else, please sit near the back, behind anybody that's paying attention. Okay? This will make their life better. If you are sitting in front of somebody that is doing distracting things, move forward. If that doesn't solve the problem, come talk to me and we'll address that student individually, right? I will also just say in passing, there is various studies, none that I would call beautifully controlled, but studies that suggest that taking notes on paper causes you to learn more than taking notes on a computer. There's confounding variables. It's not known that that's absolutely the true, but it seems to be the case. I offer that to you for your consideration as you're going through the class. I think that's all of the course running things I wanted to say. Oh, I never actually did show you one other thing on the schedule. As we look at the schedule, first off, if you don't like calendar views, you can also go to agenda views, right? I'll try to highlight the next class that's coming up. I also have these links. Most of these links, as you will discover, go to Wikipedia. Hey, not all of them. Some of the Wikipedias aren't great, articles aren't great for what we're going to do. Some of those I fixed, some of them I haven't, right? But a lot of them will just be designed to be overviews, particularly for the first half of the course. Some of them will even be less than that. They will be single images. Okay? There's a lot of information in an image if I decide to link to it directly. You can pretty much guarantee that, okay? We will talk about these in class, but I really do encourage you at least glance through them before you come to class. Have some idea if you're skipping things you don't know or if this is talking about things you do know. And we will go beyond these sometimes in class. I will just go to an image search and we will search for images on the fly to show various principles. We'll sometimes show little clips of videos and so on as we go along. But yes, I did want to mention that there is that here on the agenda or schedule, whichever one you want to see, where you can see what's going on there. And I think that really did, oh, and we have a final. Right, this shouldn't be a surprise. Our final exam schedule puts this fairly late in final exams, on December 17th at 9 a.m. Per university policy, I'm not allowed to move that without approval from the dean. Anyway, it will be an in-person, on-paper quiz. So you should plan to be here then. If you already know that's a problem, tell me now, and I will probably tell you, sorry, it's a policy by the dean, but maybe we can talk to the dean. But anyway, there is that. Yes?
So that's the same as the final quiz.
That is the final quiz. Yep. So I think those are the things I didn't already talk about. Yes? Okay. Thoughts, comments, questions so far? All right, I have 15 minutes left, so we're going to dive into what's on the schedule for next time. We're going to talk about the concept of a raster. Raster. How do we represent images in computers? There's basically two common ways. We'll talk about some other ways that could theoretically be used but aren't, but there's basically two common ways. We either describe the contents, or we have a lot of dots. Okay, these are basically the two different ways. And different ways of representing image will either describe contents, or they'll give you a lot of dots. So examples of things that we could argue are image formats that describe contents rather than give everything, the SVG or Adobe Illustrator, if you happen to know these. And we can go more than that. We could argue, for example, that HTML, although it's not generally considered to be an image format, is describing the scene. When I look at this website, there are pixels of different colors on the screen. And I did not have my server tell me exactly every pixel. It just says, there should be an A here. Draw an A, okay? And this is the idea of this describe the scene kind of way of specifying what we want to see. We will spend relatively little time on this overall. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about it, and we'll actually essentially your input files, your homeworks will be a version of this. Your output files will instead be a lot of dots. Okay? The goal of having a lot of dots is that it tells you exactly what to draw at some level of detail. And understand this, we could think about pointillism, right? We could think about how if we have a lot of dots in the right places, it will start to look vaguely like some sort of image. I'm not great at pointillism, in case you couldn't tell. But I can do a halfway decent job if I have enough patience. Okay? If I have a bunch of dots, eventually you can start to say, oh, I think I know what that is. Okay? And maybe you can, and maybe you can't, and that's okay, right? A lot of dots, if they're small enough, and it's even easier if we have lots of different colors that we can use in our dots, can start to represent images quite well. Computers tend to represent images with lots of dots. Now, we could arrange the dots arbitrarily, like pointillism. You just hit the page somewhere. But if you think about how we would encode that, if you think back to 2150 and how we would encode that as bits, encoding the position of an arbitrary dot on the page needs to be represented as numbers telling me where it is, and then I still need numbers to represent the color. And if I could avoid storing some of those numbers, it could be smaller. So by far the most common way of arranging our dots is in a rectangular grid called a raster. So we will typically divide the scene up into a rectangular grid, usually a square grid, not always, okay? And then we will just decide what is the color of each dot, each of these little squares, okay? Sometimes we will think about the square as a whole entity. And when we think about a square as a whole entity, we will usually call it a pixel. So a pixel is a square inside the raster. Sometimes we will think about the dot, the center, the point that is the center of a pixel. And sometimes we will think about the point that is at the corner of pixels. And we will try to be clear about why we would do these in different ways. But we'll sometimes call these pixels as well, just to be confusing, three ideas, one name, huzzah, right? But all of them are just ways of encoding lots of dots. And because they're in this nice regular grid, I don't have to tell you where each one of them is. I can just tell you, hey, we have a total of, how many did I draw here? 7 across. And then if I just tell you colors, a giant list of colors, you'll put the first 7 on the first row, and then the next 7 on the next row, and then the next 7 on the next row, and I never have to tell you any positions besides this single time I tell you how wide the picture is. Okay? And so this is commonly how we try to represent images. We try to do it in rasters. And a lot of computer graphics is basically about how do we turn this into that. How do we take the description of the scene, the description of the content, and decide what color to make each raster? And so large portions of graphics will be based on this basic idea. Okay? There are 2 basic approaches to dealing with this problem. One approach, let's take a simpler example. Okay? Let's suppose over here, I say, I want a line from the point 0, 0 to the point 7, 13. This is the description of the scene. I want a line from here to there. And then over here, I have some scene. Okay? Now, if we were plotting this in grade school, we would say, okay, 0, 0 is the origin, and 7, 13 is up there, and we would just sort of try to eyeball it. Or maybe grab a straight edge if we're not good at straight lines. Okay? But that isn't how most computers draw. Now, this used to be how computers drew. In the early days, we would just hook a computer up to an oscilloscope, which just has a beam of electrons that bumps into phosphorescent material, and we just drive them wherever we wanted to do. And they would literally draw lines. And we'd just say, go from here to there, and it would. We'd actually have to do integrals and so on to figure out how fast it needed to move. Anyway, the math is a little simpler now in some ways, a little more complicated in others. But because we have a raster, this isn't how we're going to do it. We need to turn this description into, in our scene where we have a lot of individual boxes, we need to decide which boxes get colored and which ones don't. The 2 basic approaches we use. One is going to say, I have a box. I want to know, is this box covered by that line? So we go, is this pixel colored? This is one question we could ask. We could ask that for every pixel in the scene. We could figure out which ones are colored. Away we go. The other way we could do this is we could say, what pixels are covered? So we could start with the description and find the pixels in question from it. And so we could say, well, clearly 0, 0 is covered. And then we can try to figure out what pixel next to 0, 0 is covered, and so on, until we find all of the pixels. 2 fundamentally different approaches to how we do things. And almost everything we'll talk about in computer graphics, we can argue, is one of these 2 approaches. Initially, as we're just talking about basic pictures, we'll actually see this applies to constructive solids and all kinds of other things later on as well. But initially, we're going to talk about how to do this for basic pictures, and this approach is going to be called rasterization. People very rarely write this word out in full. But the idea that we're going to say, I want to figure out where in the raster this thing belongs. I am rasterizing it. This other direction, initially, we're going to call ray tracing. Okay? The reason it's called ray tracing is a little bit complicated in the 2D space. But in the 3D space, it'll be a little bit easier to describe. And so I'm going to try to describe that without my props, because I didn't know we'd get this far today. So let's imagine that we have an actual scene. I don't know. Let's say we have a rotten apple. Okay, so we have a description of some object in space. And we have a description of some camera. We'll draw an old style film camera because they're easier to draw. I mean, they're harder to draw, but they're easier to recognize. Okay, and so what we want to know, if we think about it in the 3D space, is we want to know if there was this sort of imaginary grid in front of the camera, which of those pixels would be part of the object. And this is created by finding some focal point behind it and creating a ray, where if you may remember from geometry, a ray is something that has one end and then goes forever in the other direction. A line goes forever in both directions, a segment is capped at both ends, a ray is capped at one end and not the other. And so the idea of ray tracing is I create 3D scenes by creating a ray through each pixel and tracing to see what it bumps into, if anything. Okay? That concept in 3D is sometimes also used, not widely, but sometimes also used to describe the same process in 2D, right? I look at each of the pixels in the scene, I shoot a ray through it, I see what it bumps into, decide if it hits the line or not. Okay. Questions about these two basic approaches, or what a raster is? Questions about these concepts so far? All right. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to chat with your neighbor, and we're going to take a poll about what we think the answer is. How many pixels should be included in this line? Chat with your neighbor. I just want to know how many pixels will be covered by the line from 00 to 713. Equal to 13. 20.
15.
15.
14.
14. Yeah.
30.
30. Yeah.
13.
13. Yeah.
7 times 13.
7 times 13. Which, of course, is 91, right? Okay, let me ask a question. What is, let's just pick, I don't know, I'll pick the first one I was given, 22. What is the area in pixels of 22 colored pixels? The answer really is as easy as it seems. 22. What is the area of this line?
Zero.
So how many pixels should I cover?
Zero.
But if I say draw a line, you say done, will I be happy? What is the length of this line?
Root 20.
It's not quite root 20.
It's
root 218. Where did 218 come from? The distance formula, right? It's the root of 7 squared plus 13 squared, which is the root of 49 plus 169, which is the root of 213. What is the root of 213? Anybody happen to know? She has just barely under 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm not perfect at square roots in my head, but I'm pretty good. So it's approximately equal to 15. Okay? And so one argument we could say is, all right, we're going to assume it's 1 pixel wide. That would make its area 15 pixels. Let's draw 15 pixels. But then we'd have the question, which 15? We will look more at this question when we meet again on Thursday.
Thank you.